I'm Peter Bonner McNiss, and he is Chris Lang. And welcome to another of these regular property briefings. And a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be here with you.
When I was revisiting some of the earlier podcasts, I noticed we've often covered specific topics, and I thought today we might delve into ensuring that a deal will actually stack up. So, where should we start?
I find that when people start out investing in commercial property, they seem to have the notion that in order to be successful, you need to be a real estate agent, an accountant, a lawyer, all rolled into one. And that's mainly because at that early stage, those investors may not have an in-depth understanding of the various sectors, the office, retail, and industrial property. However, if you're able to read documents and do some basic maths, you should have no problem in evaluating commercial property deals, particularly when you already have my high return filter and my mentor group also have access to the final judgment software. And these tools you'll find will stand you in good stead and actually put you well ahead of many professional investors when it comes to quickly and easily analysing specific properties.
Maybe you might also touch on the basic terminology involved with commercial property, just so everyone starts off on the same page.
Well, there's a whole host of terms and descriptions that, you know, embrace the aspect of commercial property, but let's perhaps touch on the main ones. We'll start with the capitalisation rate. Now, this is simply your net income divided by the selling price. And this is also affectionately known as the cap rate or the passing yield. Now, ignoring any borrowings or tax implications, the capitalisation rate tells you what sort of yield you're making on your investment each year. And then you come to cash flow, and that's your annual net income, what you have available to you to service any debt on your mortgage. That leads us to debt service, and this is the annual interest cost associated with your mortgage. Now, your cash flow can also be broken into gross income, which is the total income of the property, including your office rent or premises rents, the car parking, license fees, any naming rights, and so on. And then to get to your net income, that's calculated by taking your gross income and subtracting any building operating expenses and allowing for any current vacancies. The net lettable area of a property is the usable space available to the tenants within the property, ignoring common or public areas. We talked about operating expenses. Well, these are basically related to all the costs not recouped from your tenants. And as I said earlier podcasts, in most cases, your tenants commercially will be paying them. But if they're not, these will include things like your rates and taxes, insurance, any utilities relating to public areas, any maintenance or general repairs. And these expenses will generally be recovered from commercial tenants and do not take into account the actual servicing of your debt. And then perhaps finally, the vacancy rate, which you often hear discussed in newspaper articles, and you calculate this by dividing the total area of vacant tenancies by the total net lettable area of the building itself.
Okay, with that now out of the way, could we perhaps cover how you go about determining whether a property is worth pursuing?
Well, I mentioned before the high return filter and the final judgment software, and so now you have these tools. It doesn't really matter what size or how complex a property may seem, you can quickly establish whether or not you should be pursuing it. And basically, your analysis falls into three main areas: the income, the expenses, and the debt involved. And the final judgment software actually collates and analyzes 18 different components in these three main areas. Now, to start out, you've got your initial fact finding. So the question is, from where do you begin to gather the necessary information? Well, what you find is that selling agents will generally provide you with most of the details within what's called an information memorandum for each property. And so you can use that in conjunction with the high return filter to decide if the property should make it onto your shortlist. And you can generally do that in about 3 to 5 minutes. And so if the information memorandum should also provide you with enough information so that you can then go on and use the final judgment software to make the necessary calculations. However, when it comes to rental figures, you do need to be wary of agents trying to pump up the rental figures by providing you with what they call a potentially fully leased tenancy schedule, because they inevitably seek to present you with the best case scenario. Therefore, always deal with reality, not potential, when establishing the appropriate rental for a particular property.
What about establishing the property's price level? Are there any handy rules of thumb investors could use?
Well, you need to come at this from several angles in making your comparison with other properties. And the two issues are the yield, and that's the cap rate or the passing net income, and the price per square metre, and that's the price divided by the net lettable area of the property. Now, sometimes you'll find that the yield compares favourably with other recent sales, but the price per square metre is clearly above market. Now, for example, the property you're considering, an appropriate price might provide you with a yield of 6.5% and sales evidence is at 6.6, so that's fairly comparable. But when you divide the expected price that you think you can buy it for by the net lettable area, your property comes in at $5,200 per square metre, whereas the sales evidence at the 6.6% yield property comes in at $4,750 per square metre. So how does that come about? Well, what happens is that the vendors may well be offering the tenants a substantial incentive when they sign up in return for them to agree to pay an above-market rental. And therefore, while the passing yield may look okay, a valuer will automatically discount the purchase price to reflect the actual market value for the property. Now, when it comes to things like operating expenses, again, you need to perform several checks to ensure the expenses reflect an appropriate level for the age, the type and size of the building involved. Now, even though in most cases your tenants will be paying the outgoings under their lease, it's vital that you ensure that those outgoings are kept to a realistic minimum. Now, the reason for that is that when it comes round to rental review time, your tenants will look at the total occupancy costs, and that is rent plus outgoings, when comparing your property to other properties before deciding to exercise the option to extend the lease with you. In the case of a rental dispute at that point, again, a determining valuer will likewise take the property's outgoings into account in arriving at an independent assessment to assess what the net rent should be. And therefore, you need to calculate outgoings using both the rate per square metre and percentage of the net rental. And then you simply compare those figures to what would be appropriate for the type of building in question. Now, just to give you a rough guide here, for a suburban property, let's say the net rent is $300 per square metre, so your outgoings would be generally $60 to $90 per square metre and should be somewhere between 20 to 30% of the net rent. For a CBD building, your rental might be $500 a square metre, your outgoings $150 to $200 a square metre, and because the buildings are taller, larger, more lifts and so forth, they represent a percentage of about 30 to 40% of the net rent. So if the rate per square metre is okay and the percentage of net rent comes in too high, you immediately realise that the current rental is too low and vice versa. So if you come across any such market variations, you simply need to make the appropriate adjustments when inputting the information into the final judgment software. And while we're talking about expenses, make sure you don't forget about rates and taxes. Remember, by law, retail tenants cannot be asked to pay land tax. And so this is something you need to take into account when arriving at your true net income if you're looking to purchase a retail property.
Well, thanks for all that.
Hopefully it's provided some insight into the sort of things you need to take into account when performing your initial investigations into a potential property. You see, it's just a matter of being able to identify the issues involved and also being prepared to ask the necessary help from your team of consultants along the way.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And thanks once again.
Well, it was my pleasure as always.